Do you ever want to dive deeper into the Bible, but you just don't know where to begin? Or maybe you struggle to feel like you even have the time? When you do read the Bible, do you get frustrated? Because you know there's so much more in there, you just have no clue how to get it out. Or maybe you simply want to know the Bible better and you're looking for any resource to help. Well, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to the Context and Color of the Bible podcast. We are two sisters who love to study the Bible and love to help explain it to others. When it comes to our own study of Scripture, we have found that in bringing back the context of Scripture, it adds to our understanding. It actually adds color to the black and white pages of the text. Welcome to the book of Exodus. So we ended, Veronica.
Yes.
Episode 7 last week.
Yep. We figured it out. Yep.
So we are on episode 8 of season 4 this week.
And if you haven't figured out our pattern, Erica does the even intros, I do the odd intros.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
That's right. But we ended at the end of chapter 15, but not completely right at the end, Veronica. And why didn't we end it?
Because I told you we weren't.
Yeah, because you stopped
basically,
us.
Because what we realized is the end of 15, 16, 17, and 18 is this transition period. Before God covenants with the people, I realized there was something they needed to know.
Right.
They needed to know God. They right. needed, and when we say know, we mean have experiences with him.
Right.
They needed
the intimacy.
Yes.
Life
to
together.
Understand, let's do life together. Let's see who you are. Because for 400 years, they've been in Egypt.
Right.
With 500 gods. This God comes in and says, I'm going to redeem you. And then he's leading them to covenant with them.
Right.
So he can dwell with them. But God's not just going to come in and go, here's the rules and follow them.
Right.
He's going to set up and go, we need time together.
Right.
We need to live together. You need to know who I am and how much I love you and how you can trust me.
Right.
And you need to know I'm not a God limited just to the land of Egypt.
Right.
I'm not a God limited to the land around that burning bush.
Right.
I'm a God who can dwell with you as you wander the wilderness.
Right.
And so it hit me of there is a transition time.
Right.
And so we instead have God redeems.
Right.
And God, they know God so they can covenant with God.
Right.
And then God can dwell with them.
Right.
And with that knowing then, I thought too, is that memory. Why is it record? Why is 15, 16, 17, 18 recorded? Because the generations to come.
Right.
Need to know God.
Right.
Because if you don't have that memory, we go back to the beginning of the book. Pharaoh didn't know Joseph.
Right.
Therefore, Pharaoh didn't know Joseph's God.
Right.
And the Israelites' God. And so they, the people who are going to continue in this covenant, need to know.
Right.
Here's how it started.
Right.
Here's what he did when he called us out. Here's why now we do follow and obey.
It's interesting. Dennis Prager, in his commentary, Veronica, talks about how it's not too much of a leap of faith to believe in God.
Right.
You know, and there would obviously be those who disagree with me, but you look around you at the world and you go, it just makes sense. There's intelligence.
You look at ancient history.
Right. There's design. There's intelligence. Somebody has to have started this, know what they're doing to put it together. He said, but what does take faith and a jump is to believe that that God is good.
Oh,
because
if
you look at the world around you, the suffering, the destruction, the devastation, it would be easy to say, there probably is a God, but I don't care to get to know him. He doesn't care to get to know me. He's distant. He doesn't care about us. He's not powerful enough to take care of us, or he doesn't care enough. Mm-hmm. And so God has to constantly reveal himself so that we can know he is a good God.
Mm-hmm.
He does care about us. He is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what these chapters are about.
Right, right.
I'm not just here. I am good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take care of you.
And if you've just left off, God was that warrior.
Right.
A warrior is not someone who I think is caring about my daily needs.
Yeah, that's you not...
know, I want my warrior for protection.
Right.
But who do I go to when...
Right.
When we're out of water.
Right.
You know, the warrior doesn't concern himself with those things. He pushes on past.
He's trying to keep me safe.
Yes. And so I need to know. God is so, it's that idea of a diamond. And you turn it, and depending on how you turn it, you can see a whole new spectrum in
color, shape, beauty. Yes.
God is like, just like the Bible is like that, God is like that.
Right, right.
That... you can turn it just a little, and it's like, God, you have so many characteristics and pictures and images that represent you, and they're not all the same.
Right.
And they don't bring me the same kind of comfort.
Right.
That warrior was great when I was fighting off Egypt.
Right.
Not that they did anything.
Egypt, you mean?
No, the people. The Israelites, they just stood there and watched.
Right, but yeah, they did that time, yeah.
Yeah, and God fought that battle for them. But now we have in 15, verse 22, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the desert. They traveled for 3 days without finding
water. And it's been 3 days. 3 days. I mean, I get it. I get it. You're thirsty. I can't imagine
you're
the
in
thirst.
A desert. It's you're probably hot. You're in a desert.
It is hot. I can remember walking through not that desert, but a different place in the Middle East, and it got so hot my water bottle was hot.
Oh.
The sun was just constantly beating on my water bottle, and I didn't care because I was so thirsty. I was like, but it burned my tongue. It was so hot. So I get it. Like, they are thirsty, but at the same time, Veronica's like, it's been 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He took you through the Red Sea on dry ground. He brought you out of Egypt, and you're
already complaining.
Oh, yeah, it makes me think of my kids.
Which certain
they,
ones?
Well, yes, certain ones more
my
than others.
My youngest, I would say.
They probably get it from me totally and completely, but it's like, oh, I'm dying. Like, you just ate.
Mm-hmm.
You'll survive.
But I love what God does. Moses cries out to the Lord. And I tried to look into that Hebrew word.
Cry.
Just means call out. So I don't know if it's a anguish crying, if it's a frustrated crying, because I did think my kids call out to me when they're in trouble.
Right. You know? And I jump when it's a certain kind of cry. I will jump.
Yes. So Moses cries out to God, and he could be going, I don't know what to do.
Right.
We're out of water. These people, and we're out of water.
Well, it's bitter water.
Yes.
At Marah.
Yes. And I love what God does. Shows him a piece of wood and says, throw it in.
Right.
And you go, did God need to do that?
Right. No.
What was the point of Moses throw this piece of wood into the water?
What was the point, Veronica?
I think it's to continue to set up to the people. I'm talking to Moses. I'm using Moses. He is the leader. So those of you who want to go, who put you in charge? Who
Which
made you
will
our
happen.
Leader and judge?
Mm-hmm.
God's using Moses and going, I'm going to do simple things. But Moses also needs to learn obedience.
Right.
And trust. If God tells you to do something,
you do it.
You do it.
Other people have talked about the bitter water representing sin and the wood representing the cross.
Oh.
They have seen that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't... yeah. That could be in
okay.
there.
Okay.
Yes, I have heard that one. I just find it interesting that God did it. Like, he could have sent them to sweet water to begin with.
Right.
And you wonder if God's like, I'm just... like you said, constantly reminding them, I'm here. I've got this. I can take bitter and make it sweet.
Right. But in that, do you have, what are your expectations of God? Are they low that God is only going to bring me to bitter water?
Yeah, right. That's
you
a
gave
good
me
point.
Water, but it's not good. Right. It's not worthwhile.
Right.
Or is it, was God saying, not only do I care, okay, because you could say, I gave you water. What are you complaining about?
True.
But I'm going to go, I care so much.
Right.
I'm going to show you it started out bitter.
Right.
And I care enough to make it sweet.
Right.
That's how involved I'm going to be.
Right. I'm an intimate
in
God.
Your lives.
Well, and then he talks about, at the end of 15, the Lord made a decree and a law for them in verse 25. If you listen carefully and do what is right, if you pay attention, keep all my commands, I won't bring on you the diseases, for I am the Lord who heals mm-hmm. you. As I healed the water, I can heal you. As I purified that bitter water, I can purify your hearts. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord who heals you.
But also I go, not only healing, but they're going to be wandering in the wilderness.
Right.
You're going to need someone who can keep you free from diseases.
Right, right.
You're going to need, as you're wandering, they yep. don't know they've got 40 years of wandering.
Yeah.
But they're going to need to know.
Yeah.
God's got them. And we didn't talk about this last week, but you had the pillar of fire leading them.
Right.
In the front. And then when he went back to deal with the Egyptians, he got behind them.
Right.
So you have a God who goes before.
And behind.
And he's going to go before right now. I'm the God who's going to protect you.
Right.
But I'm the God behind you, keeping you free.
Right.
From diseases, who's healing you.
Right.
And then I love it. Not only does he just bring him to one pool of water, but 15 ends with, then they came to
Elim.
Thank you. Where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees.
And those numbers are very interesting.
What would you like to tell us about those numbers, Erica?
Well, numbers often just have meaning. And 12 makes you think of the 12 tribes. But 70, I think it's Genesis 11, the 70 nations.
Oh, yeah.
70
Genesis
often.
Genesis 10.
Genesis 10, thank you. 70 often represents the world, the Gentile oh. nations. And okay. so it's just interesting. You've got 12 and 70. Mm-hmm. I don't know really what to do with that. It's just interesting.
But it's
number.
An interesting.
Yeah, those two numbers jump out.
Mm-hmm. So with it, that leads us then. They didn't have water. They complained.
Again.
And then we get to Exodus 16, verse 2. In the desert, to the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And I think I have in my notes, let me turn the page as I... That whole community, there's an idea of a swarm, a buzzing noise.
Ooh, that sounds bad. Ominous. Yes. That buzzing noise is not
yes.
good.
Of just the constant...
complaining, griping,
yes.
under the breath, backbiting, moaning, whining. Yes. Yes, those of us who are parents go, oh, we know that buzzing noise.
And so I love that the Israelites complain to Moses and Aaron. You don't even have a recorded response if Moses goes to the Lord.
He must.
He must have, but we don't even know what he says. We just know what God says.
Well, first of all, it's been a month. Like, I mean, I'm just amazed
how short
our memories are, which is probably why God says over and over again, remember, remember, mm-hmm. weekly remember, yearly remember.
Daily.
But we often think, too, if I just saw a miracle, I would never
right.
doubt again. If I just saw God do one thing, I would believe. If God revealed himself in one special way, I would have faith. And what we see over and over again, Veronica, is that's not true. Miracles are not enough to produce faith. Your faith lasts until the miracle runs out and you need the next miracle. Mm-hmm. And then your faith is gone. So if your faith is resting on a miracle, if you think it would, you have no faith.
Right.
Because the moment that water's gone, the moment you're in another issue, boom, you're back devastated. Where is God?
Right.
This God who just provided for me is gone now.
Right. And so you have the people complaining about food. So God says, okay. And he gives them manna. And what I love, though, is he gives them specific instructions.
Very specific.
He gives, and what I like, every day you're going to pick this up.
Right.
So
you have to work for it? Is that what you're saying, Veronica? We have to work for it?
I didn't even go there.
We can't just, never mind. We have to work. We'll just put it that way.
They have to work for it, but it's a daily dependence.
Right.
You have to know daily
yep.
you can trust me.
Yep. And that daily I'll provide it, and
yes.
it's going to get again tomorrow morning and the next day.
Yes, because again, they don't know God, and I think that's part of the grumbling, is it's not, yes, he did big things, but they've got decades, generations.
Of nothing
from God.
Right.
And okay, fine, God, you're with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but then
right.
I went quiet.
Right.
So how involved are you, God?
Right.
If they're comparing God to the Egyptian gods... What is their thought of who God is? So God daily tells them to gather food, and then those who don't obey, he makes sure.
They realize they disobeyed.
Yes.
Well, I want to jump to what you just said. I love, in Hosea 11, I love this picture. God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals. They burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them.
What is that?
Hosea 11, verses 1 through 4. I love that picture, though, of like every day the man of God is just bending down, going, here you go. Here's some more food. I think one other version has it where, like, I lift them. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. Like, cheek to cheek. Gives this picture of a cheek to cheek. God is holding them that close. And I mean, just the intimacy of God and the care and concern of God that every day he provides this manna. And so you can imagine how it must have hurt his heart when day after day they disobey with it.
Right.
You know, I feed you every day. You don't need to keep it extra.
It will come.
It will come.
And I love, I'm not sure, it's at the end of 16, verse 35. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled.
Right.
They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan.
Right. God took care of them. Every day he bent down to feed them.
Yes.
They were never out of his sight. The prophets give this idea of a honeymoon picture of their time in the wilderness, that it was a very sweet time because they had nothing but God. Okay. And they grumbled a lot and complained a lot, but they had nothing but God at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so it actually has this honeymoon type feel to it. It was just you and me, Israel. We were in this together. Mm-hmm. I fed you. I carried you. I clothed you. You needed me and I was there.
Mm-hmm. But in that, that's the knowing.
Yeah.
We're doing life together.
Yes. And that's what God wants from us. Life together.
Mm-hmm. And with that, then it's memory.
Yeah.
You've got to remember this and teach your children, because there will come generations who don't know.
Who don't remember.
How I took care of you. How I provided daily.
Right.
And I think, are you ready to jump to 17 then?
Yes. Yeah.
So we have now, again, they need water. So they're complaining. Moses cries out. They're verse 4, they're almost ready to stone me. So you have this group of people who is continuing to see God's provision and yet forgetting.
We wouldn't know what that's like, would we?
I know. But this time God says, walk ahead of the people, verse 5, and take some of the elders. And if you haven't paid attention, pay attention to what these elders get included, not just in this chapter, but in the chapters to come. I'm not going to talk much about them, but there was other people around Moses who experienced and saw. And so Moses brings water through the Lord to the people. But then also, so God's showing he cares about their physical needs.
Right.
Food and water. He's intimately involved.
Yep.
But now we have a new problem starting in verse 8.
Right.
We have a fight. We have enemies coming up against them.
We got rid of Egypt, but now we've got some new people.
Yes. And I love God again uses Moses.
Right.
He keeps putting Moses as he is the leader. My hand is on him.
Right.
I'm using him. And he has Moses, verse 12. Moses, standing there with his arms, grew tired. They took a stone, put it under him, and he sat down. And then he had Aaron and Hur on each side.
Right.
And they held his hand steady until sunset. Is there any word in there, Erica, that should jump out at us?
Well, for those of us that have been following for a while or have heard us teach, the word emunah is in there. And what word is that, Veronica?
It's the word steady or faithful.
Right.
And again, Erica has a YouTube video.
That's right. Teaching on this. So we're not going to go into it now. Emunah means faith, faithful, steady.
But again, if there was two videos Erica did that you all have to watch, it's her video last week on Hasid. I did that right as she took a drink of water.
Oh my word, I almost bit it out.
And her word on emunah.
Yeah.
That one, when we were recording it, I just wanted to shout amen. It was such a good teaching. So you have to go. Last week I told you had to watch the other one on unfailing love. This week you need to go watch. And I'll put it in the notes.
Emunah.
As I hit my mic. Emunah. But that is, you have to understand who your God is. These are some foundational words you need.
Yep.
But again, Moses built an altar. They win. Moses builds an altar, calls it the Lord is my banner. For his hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at the war against the Amalekites from generation to generation.
Yet God did not like them. And that comes to play later on in Scripture.
Yes. There's some history. In some big
ways.
History being laid here.
Yes.
That we don't have the time to dig into.
No, but that's a rabbit trail. If you want to follow, that's a really fun theme to follow. The Amalekites. What happens to them? Who eventually takes care of them? Who doesn't? And how does that tribe get...
Yes, I'm thinking maybe redemption. In the show notes we might need to put some...
Some leading.
Yes, here's some verses to go check out if you want to follow that rabbit trail. But we're in this transition of knowing God. Mm-hmm. He fights for them. We've got that warrior.
Right.
He nurtures them and cares for them.
Yeah.
Is that mother with a child.
Yeah.
And then we get this random...
Jethro shows up. Father-in-law.
How does that fit in then? Erica's question to me was, how does that fit into your idea of knowing God?
Right.
And I wish I could remember what I said. I do remember.
You do?
Yes.
Good, because I was panicking because I'm like, I don't.
Well, if you look at it from the Israelites' point of view, they just left Egypt not too long ago.
Right.
And Pharaoh was God.
Oh, right.
It
right.
would be easy
right.
to take Moses and elevate him to a godlike status.
Yes, especially with all that God has done through him. Yep.
Yes, and very so, true. And it would be easy for Moses.
Right.
To
the arrogance and pride would grow.
Yes, and so what I see in this, and you are free to disagree with me. You know our website, Erica's website. You know our Facebook page. But what I see in this is God showing Moses' humility.
Right.
Showing what kind of character Moses has.
How does Moses show humility in this chapter, though, Veronica? What happens specifically?
His father-in-law comes to him and says, look, you are going to burn out.
Right.
You are doing too much. You're micromanaging in a way.
He was, yeah.
And you need to let go. You need to assign leaders to different size groups.
Right.
And kind of work their way up the system. Right. So that you're not dealing with the petty little squabbles, Moses. If something big is going to come that is going to affect the nation, then we need your wisdom and your input.
Right.
But Moses, look around. You have leaders.
Right.
Use them. Put them in charge and allow them to deal with the smaller issues.
Right.
So
right.
you don't burn out. Because Moses, you do have a lot on your plate.
Right. Right.
And what impresses me with Moses is he could have easily said, dude, who are you? God talks to me, and he hasn't talked to me about this.
Right, right.
And the fact that God didn't talk to Moses about this is fascinating. And it says to me, God needed Moses to remember, you have people around you.
Right.
And there are people who can speak truth into your life.
Right. It's not just you and God. We're in a community together.
Mm-hmm.
That's covenant community. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
And you need those people. You need wise counselors around you.
Because Moses, you don't know it all and you make mistakes.
Yes. Yes. And you're going to make. So it reminds us of Moses' humanity.
Right.
That he's not perfect. He's not God. It would be very easy to put him up because we do see the Israelites.
Right.
Go, I need an image of God.
Right.
It would have been very easy to slap Moses' face on that image.
Right, right.
And so by allowing us to see Moses is humble, Moses needs wisdom given from his father-in-law.
Right.
He's not God.
Right.
And Moses had the attitude and the willingness to accept.
The correction and the advice.
The counsel.
How do you handle it when somebody gives you advice or counsel, especially unasked for?
Right.
Because Moses didn't ask him,
mm-hmm.
what should I do about this? What do you think? I think that's a very humble person that's able to, and it's a bit of a critique on Moses. Okay, Moses, you could do this better.
Mm-hmm.
Pull back, Moses. Get help, Moses. No, I can do it all. I can be it all.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't, Moses. You are just one man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point, Veronica.
So you're getting to know God. But in this chapter, you're also getting to know Moses.
And I think on top of that, one thing I would add is in chapter 17, we see Gentiles reacting to Israel in a negative way. But now, Jethro's a Jewish man. He's a Gentile. Now we see a Gentile coming in. And I forget which verse 9... I think it is, Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, of Pharaoh, who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all those other gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly. And here you get a picture of a different Gentile coming in and celebrating with Israel. And so it's not, you're not getting this picture of Gentiles are bad. You get this picture of Gentiles have a choice. How are we going to respond to Israel and to Israel's God? Yeah, are we going to align ourselves with Israel's God and join in with him? Or are we going to keep fighting against him?
Right.
And get in trouble when we fight the warrior
right.
who comes to fight for his people.
Right. So I think as we wrap this up, the natives are actually getting restless upstairs.
Yeah, sorry if you can believe this.
We've left redemption. We are in the transition of getting to know God.
Right.
Experiencing him daily, intimately. And also with Moses, we're back to Moses again because Moses is now going to play a big part
right.
in this next part, which is God covenants.
Right.
Because Moses is the one who is going to speak to the people.
Right.
And give them, here's the covenant. Right. Here's the laws. I can't think of a better word. Here's the stipulations in this covenant. Yeah. Here's what God's going to do. Here's what we're going to do. So you need to get back from knowing God and seeing what God's doing.
Once you get to know him, here's what this God expects of me. Here's how I live now that I know this God. Mm-hmm. In light of this God, how do I react? Mm-hmm. According to his faithfulness, how do I respond with faithfulness?
Mm-hmm. After I've been redeemed.
Right. Now what?
What do
I do? What comes after redemption?
So we are now in a new section
of Exodus.
Of our podcast, 19 through
25.
I think so.
26.
25, 24. Of God covenanting.
Right.
So the podcast in the next few weeks might feel a little differently. We're not going to. Again, our idea is not to go verse by verse.
Right, right.
But we're not in a narrative part of the story anymore. Right.
We have a little less ground to cover so we can go slower.
Yes, expand on some things.
Right,
But we're excited.
Yes.
Because after God covenants, God dwells.
Yes.
And all of this is applicable to today. So we hope you've been encouraged. Don't forget to share our podcast with someone else. Don't forget to rate, subscribe. Jump on our Facebook page. What do you think?
Yeah, what about
Exodus verse 18 was for?
Chapter 18.
What would you do with it?
Yeah.
But thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.